This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. We'll also hear from Don Wick in Minneapolis at the Minnesota FFA Convention. Water levels on the Red River of the North crested in Fargo Saturday morning, with moderate flooding expected to continue the remainder of the week. The crest continues to progress north, nearing Halstead, Minnesota this morning, and should be by Grand Forks by Sunday morning. Major flood conditions continue at Oslo, Minnesota, with the crest at Oslo, Drayton, and Pembina not expected until sometime later next week.
The Midwest will see more sunshine than rain over the next 2 weeks, with planting progress advancing well in much of the region. World Weather Incorporated says there is one round of nearly widespread precipitation expected Thursday into Saturday that could temporarily interrupt field work. The Red River crested at Fargo Saturday morning, with the crest moving northward. Flood conditions are expected to steadily improve in the Southern Valley, while flooding will worsen in the Northern Valley through the coming week. World Weather says temperatures will remain colder than normal through next week.
EverAg market analyst Cole Adams says the grain trade is two-sided as traders watch planting progress and react to China's cancellation of 327,000 metric tons of corn.
That cancellation is certainly going to be hurting the corn side of things. Meal's bouncing back a little bit here, certainly kind of off our lows. We've had a tough few days to end the week last week, kind of just getting some bounce back buying from late last week. You know, we're into that weather type of market. If we are going to see anything, planting progress becomes a lot bigger thing as we kind of move forward here in the coming weeks.
The livestock market is reacting to Friday's cattle on feed report.
Yeah, so we had the cattle on feed report that came out on Friday. Cattle placed on feed was about 4% higher than the expectations. Certainly, we were down about a buck, buck and a half to open the day up. You know, currently we're down anywhere from 50 to 70 cents. So that's put some pressure here on the feeders and live cattle. And then also on the hog side of things, we had a plant fire in Madison, Nebraska. Kills 8,000 hogs a day. So hogs are up a buck and a half here off of that news.
Dairyland Seeds District Sales Manager Keith Rico says warmer temperatures are inching fields closer to planting readiness.
I would say, you know, we're probably 75-80% of the guys. There are probably some acres left untouched out there. You know, probably decisions have been made yet. We lost a lot of snow 2 weeks ago. Tomorrow, big melt came down here and right up to the North Dakota, South Dakota border. And I cover from Watertown north, and you know, a lot of we had some probably inch to inch and a quarter rain probably with this last system we had come through here last week, whatever. But still some optimism, some sunshine here, and that'll help out. And the ground's going to be firm enough. Nobody out there yet, but I have seen some fertilizer stuff moving in the south a little bit.
Rico says planting in South Dakota could be further delayed with this upcoming weather system.
A regular monthly liner service between the ports of Duluth and Antwerp, Belgium, will begin in May. Duluth Cargo Connect President Jonathan Lamb says this service is a very flexible shipping platform.
We have the capability to stuff the containers right at the terminal in Duluth, too. You know, most container facilities don't do that. Most allow the containers to go off port and get loaded elsewhere and then brought back by truck to the terminal. And while that's certainly acceptable to us, if there's other customers that say, hey, you know, my product could be railed to you in a boxcar, or I'd like to send you van loads of product and have you stuff the containers right at the port, we can certainly do those kinds of things as well with the skill and expertise of our workforce and with the warehouse capacity we have. So we offer some little bit different bells and whistles than most ports do.
Lamb says the Duluth Cargo Connect facility is extremely flexible.
We have the capability to stuff the containers right at the terminal in Duluth, too. You know, most container facilities don't do that. Most allow the containers to go off port and get loaded elsewhere and then brought back by truck to the terminal. And while that's certainly acceptable to us, if there's other customers that say, hey, you know, my product could be railed to you in a boxcar, or I'd like to send you van loads of product and have you stuff the containers right at the port, we can certainly do those kinds of things as well with the skill and expertise of our workforce and with the warehouse capacity we have. So we offer some little bit different bells and whistles than most ports do.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending April 20th show corn inspections of 914,000 metric tons, 26% less than the previous week and 45% less than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections of 375,000 metric tons are 29% less than the previous week and 38% less than this week last year. Wheat export inspections of 364 tons are 44% more than the previous week and 25% more than the same week last year. For the marketing year, corn exports were 36% behind last year's pace. Soybean inspections are 1% more than last year, and wheat inspections are 2% less than a year ago.
Friday's USDA Cattle on Feed report says the number of cattle and calves in the U.S. feedlots as of April 1st total 11.6 million head. That's down 4% from last year. Placements during March were down 1% year over year at 1.99 million head. Marketings during March totaled 1.98 million head, down 1% from last year.
Friday's USDA Cattle on Feed report showed slightly lower numbers in the nation's feedlots. USDA livestock analyst Shaley Shagum.
When we talk about the number of cattle placed on feed during March, they were just under 2 million head, which was about 0.6% below the level for 2022. Feedlots marketed just under 2 million head of cattle during March, which was also about 1.1% below a year earlier.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
The numbers continue to increase in the Minnesota FFA. Don Wick has this report.
Minnesota senior and junior high schools have nearly 40,000 agriculture students enrolled, and more than 16,000 are members of the FFA. 20 new FFA chapters were chartered in the past 5 years, with an additional 11 chapters welcomed into the organization last night. Minnesota FFA Foundation Executive Director Val Arsvold says there's a common theme with these new ag ed programs.
I think that school administrators really see that career and tech education is helping their students best prepare for careers, and they want that for their students. So I think that combination, as well as a teacher of agriculture, is very versatile with their license, so they can fill a need in a school, big or small.
The FFA Foundation is giving these new chapters a kickstart.
So we are presenting for the first time new startup kits for all chapters. So everybody that's starting those 11 chapters will receive chapter jackets, the officer markers or paraphernalia, gavels, banners, promotional materials, just to really get them off to a good start.
Those are those things that we don't think about, but that's really necessary and probably hard for a chapter to go into it.
It's an investment for a new chapter, but what was really neat for us on the foundation side is to see how people, both individuals and businesses, got behind, and all of those kits were sponsored because people saw the relevancy of FFA and wanted to support that at a very basic chapter level.
Proficiency Award winners will be honored this afternoon. The stars will be named tonight. The Red River Farm Network coverage of the Minnesota FFA Convention is sponsored by Associated Milk Producers Incorporated and its Dinner Bell Creamery. By Proceed, Minnesota Farmers Union, Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, and the Minnesota Farm Bureau. Reporting from the Twin Cities, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
Universities, technical colleges, and agribusinesses are all at the Minnesota FFA Convention recruiting FFA members. Adam Albrecht, who's with Ag Country Farm Credit Services, says these young people have a lot of opportunity.
It's just fun to be here connecting with these young people, seeing their excitement for agriculture and participating in all these really cool things that FFA provides. You know, right now I just literally had a conversation with a very well-informed student who's talking about interest rates and the economy and what the Fed's doing, and that's really fun to see somebody that young, that engaged. So, you know, a lot of kids here are just taking in the experience. They're not really thinking about some of the bigger pictures, but there are definitely people here who are paying attention to what's going on out there. And our message is, well, you know, we're just going to be here for you.
And the Career Connections is linking ag companies with their future employees.
Everybody knows there's a giant shortage of workers everywhere. So, you know, it's good to get in front of these kids. And I mean, we have, you know, future loan officer positions or credit positions, you know, customer relations, I mean, you name it, crop insurance. I mean, it's always nice to plant the seed now, and hopefully they remember you in a few years when they're ready to really start to look for that first internship or job.
The theme for the Minnesota State FFA Convention is All In for All. State FFA Treasurer Bryn Lozinski has spent months planning this convention.
It was very eye-opening to see how much work actually goes on behind the scenes to make sure that our members have the best experience possible. And yeah, it's some late nights, early mornings, a little bit of stress, but it's so worth it to see the faces on every single member out in those stands and the ones that get to come across stage and be recognized. It's an experience we hope they never forget.
Lozinski is studying agricultural communications and animal science at South Dakota State University.
I really want to focus on the swine industry. I'm also getting my swine science certification, so I really want to go into that area, working in public relations as well as release, but also do some research on the side because it's the one that literally I grew up with every single day of my life, putting clothes on my back and food on the table, and I just want to give back to that.
Farm bill discussion and debate continues. Senator John Thune of South Dakota says historically the debate is bipartisan and based on regional and commodity priorities.
Farm bills are interesting in that they don't really break down on partisan lines. It doesn't end up being Republican, Democrat as much as it does regional or commodity group. In my part of the world, we're interested in corn, beans, wheat, livestock. In the South, you know, rice and peanuts and cotton. California and Michigan, specialty crops. So it's all kind of bearing down and trying to strike that right balance and make it all fit under the, you know, the budget ceiling that you have to work with, I think, is always the most challenging part of the farm bill. And this won't be any exception. I mean, we've got budgetary constraints we have to deal with this time that are going to make this really challenging.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Verdesian Life Sciences Technical Development Manager Kurt Sievers says Accolade is an interesting liquid application that can enhance crop growth.
This is a free-living nitrogen fixture, so it's a little bit different than the rhizobia that we use with our legume crops like soybeans and peas and lentils. This one actually is considered to be a free-living bacteria, so it inhabits the soil around the roots rather than actually forming a nodule and inhabiting that nodule like the rhizobia do. And one of the things that it does is it takes a nitrogen from the atmosphere, just like rhizobia, and turns it into a form that the plant can utilize from a nutritional standpoint. We're taking the nitrogen that exists in the environment already and turning that into a form that the plant can utilize. So in that regard, it's a little bit unique.
Sievers says Accolade can help during a year when farmers get in the field later by providing additional nitrogen.
Because we're planting a little bit later, sometimes our soil conditions are better as far as temperature is concerned. So we're going to see the plants start to grow a little bit quicker than if we got in a little early when the soils were a little bit cooler. Because that plant's going to start out perhaps a little bit faster, having that source of nitrogen readily available right there by the seed, where the seed and the azospirillum can interact and that nitrogen can be produced for it very quickly, we can see some really nice advantages with that. In some situations where we get into a late planting situation, some of the things that we would have been able to do early in the year because the soils are too wet may not be able to get them done.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon. May wheat Minneapolis right now down 2¾ cents, 8.44¼. July down 3½. Chicago May wheat's down 15¾ at 6.46. Kansas City May wheat is down 5¼ at 8.35½. May corn down 9¼ at 6.54. December corn down a penny at 5.47. May soybeans 15 cents lower at 14.68½. November soybeans are down 8¼ at 12.77. In Winnipeg, May canola $3.70 a metric ton higher at $7.68.30 Canadian. June live cattle down 27 cents, $1.64.25. May feeder cattle down $1.82 at $2.10.57. June hogs right now $1.12 higher at $87.20. This is the Red River Farm Network.